First two chapters sets the stage. Third chapter, Job pours out his complaint against his situation. He says, what's the point? Well, you know, if I just died, you know, it would have saved everybody a lot of heartache and misery. Verse 13 of chapter 3, for now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, and then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth. This is accurately reporting what was said. We're going to see that in the book of Job, the theology is, like today, is bad. I don't know how to say it. Just because it's in the Bible. Remember, Satan is quoted in the Bible saying, you shall be as gods. Don't take that to the bank and try to cash that check, okay? We got to look at context, and this is kind of really important. Otherwise, we're going to have all sorts of hideous doctrine. Chapter 4, Eliphaz rebukes Job. I don't like him. I liked his friends when they came and they helped him cry. Now he's going to be all helpful and not be helpful at all. When you're going through a really bad situation, you know, here's my thing. Doing this, you know, teaching the Bible and people showing up gives me the right to say what, you know, the Bible says. And if it comes across as advice, you're here. I didn't call you up. I didn't chase you. I didn't ring your doorbell. I didn't sit down and have a cup of coffee at your table. So this is what you should know about this and this and this and this. I'm very careful to talk unsolicited advice, especially in America in the 21st century. Guys hate it. So what? Just let them go on to perdition. Let them go happily on to destruction. You see that the way somebody's taking is wrong. Well, sometimes you have to say something, but I choose my words carefully and I choose the situations carefully. And I'm not afraid. It's just that, you know, is this going to fall on deaf ears? Am I going to have somebody, you know, get all up in my grill work and the opposite of what I want to happen will happen. So I'm careful about who I give advice to. Job's not soliciting it, and Eliphaz is being very helpful. And he's not being helpful at all. There's no situation so bad that religious people can't show up and make it worse. And this is what's happening, okay? Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, if we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? You know, on our way over here, we were talking about this, Job. We just would rather sit and they sat with him for 7 days. And it wasn't 7 days at the, you know, Comfort Inn. 7 days in an ash heap, you know what I mean? They were good. They were good then. They were good friends. They're good friends anyway. They're just not wise friends. I mean, I'm not doubting their loyalty. They showed up, you know. When you're down and out, the people show up. Those are good friends. They showed up, and they sat with him, and that was good. And they should have left it at that. But how can I stop from speaking, he's saying. Well, try closing your lips. Before them words come out, the teeth, the last line of defense. And by the way, anyone of you ever had this dream where you lose all your teeth? You know, you're checking, all of a sudden a tooth comes out, and then another one, another one, then pretty soon you're losing all your teeth. Anyone ever had that dream? Raise your hand. Okay. It's a very common dream, and what it's based on is when people being asked to compromise their integrity. It's the teeth are kind of the last line of defense holding the words in. And it's not mean necessarily that you're compromising. It means that you're being asked to or that you're wrestling with that. Sue's had it all the time when she was in Augusta, when she was a state representative, for obvious reasons, okay? You can figure this out. She always had that going on because, you know, it was, you know, people always ask her to take a stand, an ungodly stand. She was the minority party. You can figure out which one that is. In the minority. Sometimes it came down to like, it was 151 representatives. Sometimes it was like 140 whatever to 8, and she was part of the 8. Sometimes it was 150 to one, and she was the one, "I am not lying." Okay? So she had that dream a lot. You know what I mean? And the teeth are the last line of defense. That's why we have that. So when you think about, like, well, should I say it? Should I say it? Listen, once it's out, you can't get it back. If you have any doubt whatsoever, take the top teeth and bottom teeth and connect them. And don't break them apart no matter what happens, and you'll be better off. Because this guy here, he's going to start running his mouth, and it's not good. Who can withhold himself from speaking? Try harder, Eliphaz. Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. True. But now it comes upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art in trouble. What's he saying? He says, listen, you've been pontificating, help everyone else. Now, physician, heal thyself. That's what he's saying. You're the marriage counselor, right? You should have really excellent marriage. No, seriously. You're the psychologist, right? How are your interpersonal relationships? How's your psychosis doing? You know what I mean? You're the whatever. You know what I mean? Use your expertise and put it on your own situation first. And this is what he's saying. And I think it's true enough. But the problem is he doesn't understand that that's not the problem. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It touches thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness of thy ways? Hey, you say you are upright. Well, then how come good stuff hasn't happened to you? How come bad stuff's happened to you? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Now see, this is what I'm talking about. Was Eliphaz in heaven, and did he understand the interview that took place between Satan and God? No, he did not. So here's his big, whoever perished being innocent. Well, nobody, Eliphaz. Nobody at all. Not certainly not Abel, right? Certainly not Joseph being sold into slavery by his brothers. Certainly not the Israelite boys in Egypt who are being thrown into the river. No, Eliphaz. And in Bethlehem, all the babes 2 years old and under, they were all guilty of something. They should have all been slaughtered. No, Eliphaz, innocent people never suffer. What kind of theology is that? Now listen, it still exists today. We get the health and wealth gospel. What's wrong with you? How come you're sick? How come you got a runny nose? Yes, positive confession. You speak into your situation and you bring out this. Listen, if your life is going sideways, if you're losing your health or your relationships or your job and it's you. And God's getting you. Listen, when this is happening in your life, when bad things are happening, there's always Satan to come around telling you what a knucklehead you are and why God's getting you. You sure don't need Christians piling up and telling you the same thing. And many do. Many do. It's still around today. Eliphaz would have made a great health and wealth gospel guy. Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent? Well, nobody, Eliphaz. Or where were the righteous cut off? Well, that's never happened. Eliphaz, I know it's New Testament and you're not privy to this, but everyone who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution and sometimes to death. The reason I'm emphasizing, I'm going real slow at this point. The reason I'm emphasizing this, someone's going to say, well, when it's your turn and you're suffering and you're in the crucible because of something that's happening on a divine scale that you can't even comprehend, that you weren't in on, nobody gave you the memo, and now your whole life is going sideways. As far as you're concerned, God is totally in control, but you don't know that. There's going to be somebody who's going to say, well, when did the righteous ever be cut off? When did the innocent suffer? Huh? Tell me that. God knows how to bless those who are faithful. That's going to happen. I guarantee it's going to happen if it hasn't happened already. And it's happened to most of us. Don't be Eliphaz. Don't let it happen by your hand. Listen, listen, and here's a very, very, very important point. Before somebody goes like, okay, somebody's going to be unfaithful, or you can say on this end of that, before that happens, this is wrong. This is gonna blow up. This is gonna happen. This is you shouldn't do this. If you do this, then something really bad's gonna happen. You can do that. But now, when something's really bad happening to somebody, you can't from that end second guess and understand. Well, that's because he must have had an affair that you don't know about, or he must have been, he lost his whole business or his wealth or something like that. Well, that's because he was cheating in business. You don't know any of that stuff. You can warn people on one end, but on the other end, you can't guess and look backwards and say, okay, this happened because of this. There might be a cause and effect. A guy went extramarital, his wife found out, and she divorced him. Okay, we get that, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're sick, right? Well, that was because, and now we start. Listen, we have a grandson. He's got autism. I have a mental blank. He's got autism. Well, that's because, shut up, you don't know what it's because. I mean, shut up, really. But we get that. I think people, I got to say this. I think people are really, really trying to be helpful. I don't think they're being cruel, but they're being not helpful. Can I just say that? But that's how it is. Everyone's got their 2 cents, and everyone's like their armchair quarterback. Well, if you'd only done this different, if you'd only done this better, then this wouldn't have happened. Well, Eliphaz is the king of all that. Who ever perished being innocent? Well, a lot of people, Eliphaz. Or where were the righteous cut off? Everywhere. Always, Eliphaz. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. Now, there's a truth there about reaping and sowing. See, some of the things he's saying are good. They just don't apply. You can say, now, he doesn't know Galatians, you reap what you sow. He doesn't know that, but he's got it down pretty good. But what he doesn't understand is Job didn't plow this. He didn't plant this. He's reaping something that he didn't do. See, we know, we have benefit of chapter 1. We have the benefit of chapter 2. Eliphaz has none of this. Now, I'm just saying, don't be Eliphaz, because you're gonna say dumb things like that. By the blast of God, they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. Who? The wicked of verse 8. Wickedness, those who sow wickedness. The roaring of the lion, the voice of the fierce lion, the teeth of the young lions are broken. The old lion perisheth for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad. Now, a thing was secretly brought to me, and my ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Okay, now we're introduced to this. He has a dream, a vision, some sort of encounter, and this becomes his reality. And I know it's true. I gave it the goosebump test, and goosebumps happened. Listen, you know what happened, Eliphaz? You should eat kosher. Don't have pepperoni pizza right before breakfast. That's the whole thing. We don't know. Listen, he had a visitor, and maybe he did. So, people do that all the time. They say that Joseph Smith saw an angel. I believe he did. They said that was an angel of light. I believe it was. And do you know what Galatians says about if an angel of light preach any other gospel? I don't doubt Joseph Smith that he saw something. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I'm telling you, his gospel is befuddled, and I'm being very gracious. It will take a person to hell. There's just no question about it. So, you know, America, we talked about this when we were talking about the Antichrist, you know, the false prophet, signs and wonders guy. He's going to perform all these miracles. And people say, oh, these miracles, oh, my Chris, incredible. So, America's like ripe for the plucking because we do this all the time. It's like, oh, you know, we see something that's unexplainable, so it becomes our new reality. Anyone ever see a UFO? Anyone here ever see a UFO? All that means is that you saw an unidentified flying object. Anyone here been taken captive aboard a UFO? That's supposed to happen all the time. You know, that didn't happen to me, or not that I know, right? But so it happens to somebody, and then all of a sudden, that's it. That's the deal. And their whole life is about ufology. And well, okay, You know what I mean? All that I understand about that is something happened that I can't explain. But I know what the Bible says, and I know the Bible's true. And the Bible doesn't say really anything about UFOs whatsoever. You know what I mean? I know some people want to, you know, put them into Elijah's vision and stuff like that. It's people with first grade theology. They open the book and, oh, we got lights and a wheel with inside a wheel. Oh, ancient astronauts. Okay. What did you go to, the school of Eliphaz theology or something like that? What'd you get? All right, let's keep moving. I had this visitor at night, and thoughts from the visions of the night, deep sleep fall from men. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. A spirit passed before my face. Something happened, okay? Something significant. And of course, he gets goosebumps. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? I don't even know what that means. The answer is no, I guess. So, I don't see what that proves. You're going through this because I had a night visitor and I had goosebumps and he said, you know, are people, you know, more righteous than God is? Can mortal men be more righteous than God? Is that the issue? Every time people suffer, it's because we can't be more righteous than God? Huh? Okay, let's keep reading. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? I guess the answer to those questions is no, but I don't see how they really apply to this situation. It doesn't matter. We got to listen to this blatherskate. Blatherskite, I think is the right word. He's just going to go on and on, and he's just going to keep flapping his gums. You know, I know that, one, this is what you got to understand. Righteous people don't suffer. Innocent people never perish. And now I'm spiritual because I had a vision. So this is, and now I'm backing it up with my artillery here. This is my second line of defense, is I had this vision. And, you know, I saw this ghost kind of thing. And, you know, he said, well, can mortal people be more righteous than God? No. Now what do I do? You know what I mean? I get that, like, sometimes, like, I'm following you, kind of. What's your point? Because he doesn't really have one. Shall a man be more pure than his maker? No. Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. No, that's not true. God always puts trust in his servants. It's not like he commissions people, he trusts people, he gives people jobs all the time. He charges his angels with folly, only his fallen ones. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. Okay, let's give you all that. I'm not exactly sure where you're going with this, but okay, yes, yes, and yes. So? I mean, at some point you can answer the soul question. You know, I get these like worms, these maggots crawling out of me. Can you help me out here? No, I'm not more righteous than God. Never said I was. I don't say that now. I'm not, you know what I mean? Oh, but you had this big, pepperoni prophecy, so I've got to stand here and act like a gentleman, I guess, listen to it until you run out of wind, you old gas bag. And you know, you almost wish, like, he kind of does say that as the thing starts to heat up a little bit. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. Okay. Call now if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints will thou turn? For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. Do you understand what this man is saying? Do you understand the horror of it? And the man has lost 10 children. The house caved in. I've seen the righteous forsake. I've seen the foolish taking root. Suddenly I cursed his habitation. His children are far from safety. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? It defies, it begs description. What is he hinting at? See, if you weren't such a sinner, you'd still have your kids. Oh, they're crushed. Look at the word there. They are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Why? Because you've been foolish. Really? Really? One, we know that's not Job's problem. Two, can I help you out something here theologically? You don't know why anything happens to anybody most of the time. Now, again, there's a cause and effect, right? A guy lives on Twinkie beer and cigarettes, and he's like 400 pounds overweight. There's a cause and effect. I'll give you that. I mean, we can see that. I mean, you know, you drink, you drive, you something bad happens. I'll give you that one. But, like, you're sick, okay? You have a sickness. Your mom had it. Your father had it. It's congenital. I don't know. You know, people, when you're a pastor, people, they look to you for, you know, okay, well, why is this happening? How come this and how come? I hate the why God question. Man, he's awesome. He's God. He's like, I'm such a grasshopper in his sight. His ways are so past finding out. I know he's good. I know he's gracious. Why did your child die? I don't know the answer to that. You need a hug? I got a hug. I got tissues. This guy, he knows everything. Oh, you know, the foolish, the children are far from safety and they're crushed in the gate. Thanks. Thanks, Eliphaz, old buddy. Appreciate it. You see what's going on here? We got like 30 chapters of this to wade through. And it's a lot of it's just like this. Sometimes it kind of gets a little profound. Sometimes it's really outrageous. Sometimes it's downright mean. Listen, you love people, right? Don't be mean. Speak the truth in love. The guy who his wife did find out about the thing, and he's got his head in his hands. Oh, why? Because you were cheating around, dude. You're playing. You should have been. You were playing. Now you're paying. That's what happened. Can you lovingly say that? If you can't lovingly say it, don't say it at all. If you can lovingly say that to someone who's very close to you, out of a place of love, listen. If you really love people, when you express that, people generally get that. They generally understand that. Listen, I know this is hard, but I'm dealing with your love. They understand that, and it comes from a different place. This isn't love. This is like just downright cruel. Neither is there any to deliver them whose harvest the hungry eateth up and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robber swalloweth all their substance. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. That's kind of true. Not exactly true. I mean, it's because of the fall. And because of that fall, that explains a lot, too, our propensities toward evil. I said this before. I have to work hard at my relationship with God. 30-something years, and I have to work hard at that. And if I just put it on coast, the proclivity is away from God, not to God. I have to work to maintain a relationship with God. Well, I have to work to maintain a relationship with my wife, and I'm crazy about her, and I can see her. But with God, it's even harder because there's that step of faith that needs to be done there. So all I got to do is, I'm not sending up a storm, right? I'm not selling like crack cocaine to school children. I'm just not taking care of it. I'm not praying like I should. I'm not seeking God's face like I should. And I start cooling off and I start drifting away. Man, there is a part of that that's true, that we are born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But it's got to do with the curse. It's got to do with the fact that, but you know what happens in a situation like that? I have found, invariably, we have a good shepherd who knows what to do with the sheep who's wandered off. It's not like, you know, people ask me all the time, and they get their verses and stuff, and they're like, can you lose your salvation? And they always want to try to get me on, you know, to buy in and stuff like that. And just those who believe that, that's a cardinal doctrine. They really want you to sign off on that. And I'm like, you know, if it's up to me to maintain it, I'll pass. I know who I am. And all the times in the past when I've wandered, he's come and found me. It wasn't my great ability to stay close to the Savior. It's his great ability to find me, to track me down, to hunt me down like the dog that I am, and to bring me back kicking and screaming the whole way. He's awesome. He's a great shepherd. He's truly magnificent. I don't even know how I got there. Anyway, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Listen, you know what you got to do, Job? You got to seek the Lord, and you got to commit your cause to him. You think so, Eliphaz? Thanks, that's really sound. I'm being sarcastic because there's kind of like a reason for it, because he's, Captain Obvious here. What do you think I've been doing? Hello? Job understands some things about God, and he hasn't sinned in this. He's not saying he's sinless. He's saying, like, listen, he's sinless like you're sinless, like I'm sinless. Okay, my sins are covered by blood. Him, not the blood of Christ. It was the blood of a lamb, no doubt. But sacrifice happened. That's why he's sinless, okay? He trusts in God. He has faith in God. He's not saying he's perfect. God never said he was sinless or without sin in any way, shape, or form. But this isn't because of sin. I want you to seek God. You know, I have a problem every once in a while, like my prayerlessness. And people say, you got to pray more. Have you prayed about this? Have I prayed about my prayerlessness? and kind of almost like that's kind of comical and stuff. And I appreciate that. But, you really got to seek after God. You ever come to a crossroads, you're going to make a decision and it's big. It's big either way, do or don't. You know what I mean? And you're really seeking God, and somebody says, have you prayed about this? Have you really sought the face of the Lord? And you're thinking like, I'm kind of doing that. You know what I mean? So he's thinking, my advice to you, Job, I think you should seek the face of the Lord. Thanks, Dick Tracy. What was your first clue? I get this sarcasm coming out of me because I don't like this guy. I mean, there's some Bible guy. He's not Judas. You know what I mean? He's not like a really profane, horrible person. He's just not, he just doesn't get it. He's just not being helpful at all. Where am I? 8:9. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. That's true. Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields? That's true. To set up on high those that be low, that those which mourn may be exalted to safety. You know what your problem is? You're too arrogant. You're too proud. He knows how to bring those low. And these things are true too. You see, a lot of this, what he's saying is he's just not hitting the nail on the head. He's assuming things that he shouldn't assume. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope in the noonday as in the night. See, here's he's saying they don't have any light. That's the whole thing. Light being used for like understanding, Light, that's the same metaphor we see in the New Testament too, You know why people don't come to Christ? Jesus knows why. He says men love darkness rather than light. And he's talking about those who are evil and they do these things. Again, that's true. And listen, I'm not evil. I'm not groping about in the day, groping about in the dark in the middle of the day. I'm searching after God. I love God. I've committed my ways to him. This is happening because, just groping around it's like Eliphaz, When the clue train drives into town, jump on board and grab a couple, okay? That's all I'm saying. But he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the mighty. So the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Is this the chastening of the Almighty? No. Again, one assumption after another assumption after another assumption. He's getting you because you did wrong. Now just own it, fess up, take your medicine like a man, and you'll be better for it. None of those things are true. I know a little bit about discipline. Me and God, we've been behind the woodshed. To my betterment, never to my joy at the moment, but it's always worked out good for the long run. I know a little bit about this. And, my whole thing is like fess it, fess up, own it. Yeah, you're right, Lord, I was wrong. And I'm always better for it. I know a little bit about this, but sometimes stuff happens and it's not, and I'm like you, I really, really am. When something goes wrong, I'm confessing stuff I never even thought of doing wrong. I'm just like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry about everything. I'm just, because I want to make sure, like, okay, Lord, if this is happening stuff and it's not out of my control, I can bear up on the things you bring into my life. If, I know these things are like Father filtered, but I got to have a sense of like, if the reason this is happening is because of me and God's correcting me and trying to bring me back to repent, I'm repenting all over. Oh, my goodness, am I repenting? Because the part I can control, I want to clear that up right away. I mean, if we can take this whole test that you bring me through and shorten it right down to a little quiz, I'm all for that, if there's a fiery furnace involved, let's just, get it up to about, 99 degrees tops, okay, and 5 minutes should do it, and I'm repenting, let's, bring me back out of it and stuff. With that in mind, think about the lads in the fiery furnace, Was it because they were unrighteous? No, because they were righteous. Sometimes all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And being in the furnace ain't so bad. They met somebody there, a noteworthy figure. The old king says, hey, didn't we throw three guys in? There's four walking around. They're unharmed. And the fourth is like the son of the gods. You know who they ran into there. I'm thinking there's a... Okay, bring on the furnace. And then, of course, like the whole thing. I mean, who's got their eye on the timer? Who's got the hand on the thermostat? You'll come out when you're done. Where am I? Verse 17. Did I get that far? Well, let's just jump into verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore, and he binds up. He wounds, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven. There shall no evil touch thee. Now let's talk about these seven things. And by the way, the seven, that's a stylistic kind of thing. We see that in Proverbs a lot. The ways of, the six things that are incredible. Oh no, seven. It's just a stylistic thing. That's all it is. And here, it's not that he's borrowing this off Proverbs. It's probably, Mideast way of saying something, making a point. But these are the seven things where God delivers them, where no evil touches you. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, in war from the power of the sword. Because no one righteous ever goes hungry, right? And no one righteous ever dies in war, right? Well, see, that's my point. He's making these things out about a whole cloth. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Now, if you're righteous, nobody's ever, ever going to gossip about you. And I tell you that, it's true, because it says so right here. You're laughing. I know. See, his stuff is laughable. You'll be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. So if you have a phobia involving mice, you shouldn't have it anymore. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. Thou shalt visit thy habitation, shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring is the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, because no one who's righteous ever dies young. You'll come to the grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know that it is for thy good. I know I said all this stuff, but it's for your good. And Job said, thank you. I appreciate that. Especially that kid's crushed remark. That really got me. Thanks, Eliphaz, old buddy. Job's going to respond, wouldn't you? Don't you? Don't you? Because people come and they have all the answers for what's wrong with you. You know what I mean? This is what you should be thinking about. This is what you should be doing. This is what you got to know about. And sometimes you just let them flap their gums. They'll run out of energy here after a while. Sometimes you answer them. Job answers them. He justifies, and he says, "But God." Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid, and the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. You know how wet sand is, how heavy it is? That's how we sin. Therefore my words are swallowed up. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. Doth the wild ass bray when he has grass? No, he's eating the grass, is the idea. Or loweth the ox over his fodder? No, he's too busy eating the stuff. You know what I mean? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Only if it's eaten by Ron Merrill, but not normally, okay? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? It's a euphemism. It's like, he's saying, like, is the Pope Catholic? That's what he's saying, okay? He's asking a question that's got an obvious answer. And he's talking about his grief, his calamity. If it were weighed in the balance, he's saying, listen, whatever I've done wrong this much, look at the payment I'm making this much. What could you do wrong that would cost you 10 children? That's more than cheating on your tax form, wouldn't you say? If you were jaywalking and God said, that's it, I've had it with you, I'm going to kill all your children, is he kind of just going a little bit, is the penalty compensable, commensurate with the grievance? You know, I was telling you, I was working at Jay, and I had the unmitigated gall to walk through an overhead door. And a guy got all up in my face. Hey! I was like, he got a vein sticking out of his forehead, and he's got like a lot of energy, and just, you think I set a six-year-old daughter on fire the way this guy is just carrying? I'm not lying. So the smart aleck in me is like, okay, listen, fool, back up three spaces, bring it down about 1,000, let's talk like gentlemen, because you're really standing on my last nerve. That's what I'm thinking, but I don't say that. I know that the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. So what I said to him is, you're right. I'm sorry. I just didn't have my head in the ball game. I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. I'll make sure that doesn't happen again. Just this side of smarmy, okay? I didn't, nothing he could accuse me of later, but I took all the wind out of his sails by agreeing with him. You know what I mean? There's something to that here, I think. But my whole thing is like, will you take a sedative or something? I walked an overhead door. Yeah, I didn't come in here and start throwing hand grenades. You know what I mean? It's going to be okay. I get the same grief because I had my wedding ring on. The guy wouldn't go sideways on me. He just was a little more, agitated than should have been. You can't be wearing it. I was like, okay, oh, I'll take it off. I didn't know. And then he came right out of it. He's cool after that. And he was like, talk to me. He realized that he knew it wasn't that level of energy that he should have expended on that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Job's saying the same thing. Okay, what did I do that deserves, I lost everything. I was the wealthiest man in forever. And I got nothing, and my kids are dead. Can you kind of rehearse that sin with me? Because I've been doing a sacrifice thing. I've been, trying to make myself. I never said I was sinless, but if look at my grief. Look at me. Look at my grief. What did I do to deserve this? Because their whole point is you are a bad guy underneath it all. You got to repent. You got to seek the face of God. Repent, turn around. It's all going to come back to you. It's all going to be good. They don't know what they're talking about. He's making a point. Can thou which is unsavory be well salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat. Oh, that I might have my request that God would grant me the thing that I long for, even that it would please God to destroy me. Listen, all I want to do is die. He's not saying I want to take my own life. He's saying, God, why don't you just let me die? Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. The idea is just drop me, let me go, and just so I die. Then should I have comfort? Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare, for I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should hope, and what is my end that I should prolong my life? Is my strength and strength of stones, or is my flesh of brass? I'm not made of rock here. I'm not made of brass. I mean, what's the point? Just let me die, Lord. I'm not built for this. I'm not cut out for this. I'm not that strong. I'm not made of rock here. Is not my help in me? This is probably backwards. Is my help is not in me is probably what it's saying. And is it, what do you got on that verse 13? Okay. Some say it's probably better, my help is not in me. And is wisdom driven quite from me? To him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friend. Hey, Eliphaz, big clue. How about a little pity? Listen, when people are pitiful, a hug is a good thing. A hug is a good thing. And then when the person has done something and they are getting the comeuppance and they know about it, the last thing they need to be is kicked while they're down. When somebody repents, that's it. Yay! They repented. And the only reason we look back at all is, and let the person do that, let the Holy Spirit do that, is that we can learn from it. Don't keep beating yourself up. Satan does that. Don't you do that. That's just not a good idea at all. Yeah, I was a knucklehead. Yeah, I paid for it. Whew, I don't want to do that again. That's good enough. Let's move on with our life, you know. Forward thinking, excelsior, onward and upward, okay? We're not, you know, that wallowing in. Hey, how about a little pity here? To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. You know what your problem is, guys? You don't fear God at all. You think, you know why, you know what the whole thing is here, by the way? They have to explain what's happened, because if there's no explanation, it could happen to them. That's the whole thing. I have explained it away. The reason this guy has whatever wrong with him is because he did this and this and this. Now, if I don't do that, it's not going to happen to me. That's what they're saying. That's what they're thinking. They have to come up with a reason. Or it's all on God. Oh my goodness, can we trust God to not do this to us? My brethren have dealt... My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, as the streams of brook they pass away, which are blackish by reason of the ice, and wherein the snow is hid. What time they wax warm, they vanish when it is hot. They are consumed out of their place. The paths of their way are turned aside, and they go to nothing and perish. The troops of Timaluk, the companies of Sheba, waited for them. They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed. Now, what he's saying is, okay, you guys are like a brook. You're like a mirage. You're dried up. You know, these people, these, and by the way, the troops of Tema, you're going to remember, Eliphaz is a Temanite. The troops of Timaluk, the companies of Sheba, waited for them. When he came to them, right, okay, good, we're finally going to get a drink. Because they had hoped, they came thither, they were ashamed. They went away like, oh no, I can't believe it, it's just a mirage. He says, that's what you guys are like, you know? You come here, I'm promised refreshment. I think like, okay, I'm going to get a deep drink here, everything's going to be okay, now my friends have showed up, and you're just like a mirage. You're just like, you dried up in the desert sun. I'm going to quench my, slake my thirst here, and like, oh, sand, this is, thanks. It's pretty... Although, albeit colorful language, it's pretty, the gloves are off early on, right? They're kind of throwing haymakers at each other. Thanks, guys. For now you're nothing. You see my casting down, and you're afraid. And you're afraid because you think it could happen to you, unless you explain it away. Did I say, bring unto me, or give me a reward for me of your substance, or deliver me from the enemy's hand, or redeem me from the hand of the mighty? Teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to go understand where I have erred. I didn't ask for any of this, guys. That's what he's saying. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask you guys to come, show up and tell me what a moron I am and that God's getting me. That's what he's saying. Did I try to hit you up for some money or anything like that? Give me a reward of your substance? Oh, it's been really bad for me. Can you help me out here? I didn't ask for that. You're almost there. You almost invite, you know, what you get. You know, if you're down on your your substance is really is gone away and stuff, and you'll have nothing, and you're begging, you're asking somebody for something, then it almost invites them to get, well, how come you lost your money? Well, what happened? You're playing the ponies? Is it the stock market? What is it, gambling? What, you know, so you're almost inviting people to do that. But he's made, I didn't ask for any of this. I didn't ask for your help. So you guys come on, show up and tell me what a bad guy I am. Or deliver me from this, redeem me from the hand of the, teach me, and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. He's saying these things. How forcible are right words, but what doth your arguing reprove? That's what I'm saying too. You're saying all this stuff, but what does that prove? Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, you dig a pit for your friend. Now therefore be content, look upon me, for it is evident unto you if I lie. You know me. If I was doing horrific things, you know me. It's evident that I'd be lying. Now, return, I pray you, let it not be iniquity. Yea, return again, my righteousness is in it. Is there iniquity in my tongue? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Don't you think I'd know if I did something this bad? Is what he's saying. I know right from wrong just like you do. And you'd know if I were lying to you. Now he's going to go on. Let's take chapter 7 because he's talking with God, and it there's not too much comment that needs to be made. Is it not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, the guy's waiting for payday is the idea, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. How long did it take them to get there? He's saying this has been going on for months. We get the idea this all happened over a weekend, 3-day weekend or something like this. Listen, this has been going on for months, these boils all over his body. Satan, good guy, isn't he? You like Satan, don't you? Hey, I'll let you do anything, just don't kill him. What does he do? Just every last thing he can do short of killing him. And for months. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise? The night be gone. I am full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. You know, at night I wish it was day, a day I wish it was night. I just can't, you know, I just can't get any relief is the kind of the idea. My flesh is clothed with worms, maggots is the idea, and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. So he's got these festering open sores, and it's gross, grotesque, it's loathsome. People want to, you know, well, he's got elephantitis, he's got leprosy, he's got Satanitis, okay? That's what he's got. He's being attacked in every way a man can physically be attacked. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. What's a weaver's shuttle? You ever see a loom like in a woolen mill, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back? That's what I feel like. It just go around the clock, just back and forth, nothing, just treadmill time. It's like, you know, day in, day out, it's the same. I'll remember that my life is wind. My eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea, or a whale, that thou settest a watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. So even if I get to sleep, on those rare moments when I can, then I wake up in nightmares. He's got to having a bad day for many days. So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I just want to die. Have you been there? It's a rhetorical question. Have you been there? Just everything's so low. You just want to die. Listen, he's not suicidal. in the sense that he's not taking his own life. He never takes his own life. He just wants to die. Some people, like, they've had like a cancer for a long time. It's very painful. They're dying a couple cells at a time, and it's a long, slow process. At the end of it, I've heard people say, "I just want to die." I understand that. I haven't experienced that, but I understand it. This is what he's saying. It's just too hard. I just want to turn off the pain. Now, the problem with, like, some people who don't know Jesus, some of these people turn to suicide to try to get rid of the pain. And by the way, emotional pain, as you well know, is way more severe than any physical pain. And they just want to turn off the pain. But they don't know is when they... outside of Christ, we take our own life as a one-way ticket to hell. We're not turning off any pain. We're going to know pain in a way that we've never known it before. He's just saying, "I want to die. I've had enough. I want to give up." And I get that. He's not talking suicide. He's talking about like Paul, the great apostle Paul. "Me and Silas, we were pressed beyond measure. We despaired of life itself," Paul says. "I just wanted to die and go home to be with Jesus." That's what he's saying. Now, he doesn't know Jesus like Paul does, but he understands, you know, there's some sort of peace, there's some sort of... Listen, he's not going to be maggot-infested in eternity. He understands that. My soul chooses strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days of vanity. What is man that thou shouldst magnify him and that thou shouldst set thine heart upon him? God, why do we even matter? And that thou shouldst visit him every morning and try him every moment. He has a sense that this is a test, right? You try me every moment. He has a sense that it's important to maintain his integrity. He has a sense that it's important not to curse God and die, like his wife told him. "Thanks, honey." How long wilt thou not depart from me? Let me alone till I swallow down my spittle. I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men?" Now he's confessing that he's a sinner. He never said he wasn't. Remember, God said he's perfect. "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him." He's saying perfect in the sense of mature. He's not saying perfect in the sense of sinless. "I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression?" Why can't we just let it go and take away my iniquity? Have you felt like that? You shouldn't. He already has. All of it, entirely, all the time. You know, the other thing, too, is like we sin and we think like, okay, now what am I going to do? You know, I already know, and I know Jesus, and he died for all my sins, so now I get a fresh new sin. What am I going to do with that? People think like that. They think, you know, some people think that when they get saved, that all their sins are gone, and God brings them back to zero. "Now try harder. Do it better this time." Really? Really? Is that salvation? Is that what your salvation is all about? No, he's paid the penalty for all your sins. Even ones you haven't committed yet. Even ones you haven't thought of committing yet. Well, if that's true, why not go out and sin up a storm? Because nothing ever works out good from sin. Ever. Ever. That's why I don't. And besides, I don't have a right to. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm his servant, and he says, "I don't want you sinning. I bought you, fair and square." All right. It's a good point. You owe me. I don't think I'll sin anymore. But here's the thing. Don't feel like this, because he does. He's like, how come? Because he has a sense like, why can't this stuff just go away? Okay, I sin, but it's not commiserate. The penalty isn't like, you know, like we don't get 30 years for jaywalking. You know what I mean? You shouldn't anyway. I think we're way gone in the other direction. Okay, you know, you're up for your fourth rape conviction? The guy says, you know, that's going to be 30 days in jail if you do this again, you know. I mean, we get stuff like that. But the other direction's bad, too. The punishment should fit the crime. And he's saying like, oh, why don't you just pardon my transgression? Take away my iniquity. For now shall I sleep in the dust. Thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Okay, it goes on like this pretty much. Now, we'll stand, we'll sing. Matt will send us out of here in song. But this is how the thing goes. They say, okay, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And he answers back. And they go through all his friends, and they all have a couple rounds at him. And then finally God shows up at the end. And those will kind of, see, we had four chapters done tonight. Yay. But when God shows up, we'll slow it down because we're going to have to look at some of these things that God says. And you know what the problem is with the great suffering? You need God to show up. That's what you need. You know, that's the only thing Job tells me, really. You know what I mean? The question, why do the righteous suffer, never really answers that. I mean, if it does, show me. I've never seen it, actually, several times through the book. But I think the whole thing is like, you know, bad things. It's hard. It's hard living this life. You know what we need? We need God to show up. That's what we need. That's our prayer. That's our hope. Okay, Stan, we'll pray. Matt will come. And Lord, you know, we've looked at this book, and some of these people are quite eloquent, but they're wrong. Help us not to be that. Help us to be really helpful and to love and to reflect your graciousness, your goodness, how kind and how merciful and how gentle you are. Help us to not, if we're going to be ambassadors for Christ, and we are, help us to be faithful ambassadors and not to misrepresent. And Lord, when we're going through it, when we're up against it, help us to be, never doubt you, never to, always to maintain our integrity, never to switch sides. We do understand, there's a truth there, man is born in trouble as the sparks fly upward. There's something to that, and you know, we're, mischief happens to us, Lord. But you're a good God, and you like to bless, and you like to give things to your children. We appreciate that so much. Thank you for this time and your word, Lord. Bless it to our understanding in Jesus' name. Amen.